I want to talk about, are you the real deal or a knockoff? Because the world is looking for authenticity. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And do mighty works in your name?' And then I will cast them and declare, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, thou workers of lawlessness.'" That is a sobering scripture. And there's a lot, and people don't want to hear this. But the population, when it's all said and done, there'll be a greater population of hell than in heaven. And I think it's so sobering that it says, "Lord, Lord, did we not do?" And there's going to be a lot of people like, "We did this, we did that. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus." But when it's all said and done, he's going to look at them and say, "Depart from me, thou doer of iniquity. I never knew you." Well, Josh, that doesn't make sense. How can they still walk in power? Well, the scriptures clearly says that the gifts of God are irrevocable. It also says that in the end times that there will be a lot of false teachers, and they're be able to operate in a certain degree of the supernatural. For example, you can go up to, I'm not saying go do it, but people might say, you know, well, fortune tellers have a degree of working in the supernatural. Well, yeah, they do per se, but all their information comes from demons. It's not that they're anything special. It's that they connect with the demonic. The demonic is going around. They're gathering intel. They give that person intel. And then the fortune teller tells the person, they're like, "Oh my goodness, they were prophetic. Oh my, they told my, oh, they're so good." No. But here's the deal. Those fortune tellers are just a copycat of true believers who walk in the prophetic. So my question to you today is, are you the real deal or a knockoff? Now, we know what a knockoff is. We all know Temu. Everybody's laughing because, oh, man, we bought Temu. You know, Temu, for those who don't know, Temu is a company that you can buy stuff, and it's direct from China. Amazon will get here next day. Temu, it will say, it'll be here a couple weeks because it has to come a month. You know, it has to come on a ship. And when you get the box, it's all in Chinese calligraphy. Well, I guess this is my package. You can open up and it's a China, what we call a China cheapie. So a knockoff is made in China. We all know that, you know, it was funny. We were at a conference the other day, and he was talking about COVID, and he was showing this package. The guy, this is right before COVID, so he was showing, the pastor was showing us a package that they received from the local authorities. Had like hand sanitizer, gloves, N95 mask, and all this stuff. And they were starting to talk about, oh, this is the China virus has started, blah, blah, blah. And he said, "You know, it's really funny." He pulls out the mask. And he kind of looks at the wrapper and he says, "It says right here, 'Made in China.'" And so we all know that a lot of you go to the dollar store, you look on the little tag, "Made in." And so we have this mentality or this precept that "made in China" means knockoff. I don't have a problem. I loved going to Mexico back in the day. I go get me some Fogleys. I get me some Nikes, you know. I mean, I had a pair of Nike sunshades. You know, they cost a couple $100s if I went to Rolling Oaks or North Star. But in Mexico, got them from like $10. Even haggled them down. Wait, $10. I don't know. I'll take my pesos somewhere else. "Hey, senor, come. $5. All right, that sounds good. But there are different names for knockoff. There's a copy, a duplicate, imitation. Have you ever went to, you got to be careful with imitation. You go to the store and you get that little package of crab meat. Ooh, that looks like, I'm going to have some crab meat, make me some sushi. And you get it, you look at the label and it says, imitation crab meat. It's not real. See, Joe knows, he works at HEB. I mean, I eat the stuff. I mean, I ain't going to lie. Oh, it's not real crab meat. What it is just fish grinded up, put into a paste, and they throw some red food coloring on and call it a day. It's not real crab meat. It's imitation, a replica, or a reproduction. So in the Hebrew, there's two words for knockoff. Now, for those who are, I'm going to try to say these. I knew them yesterday. I mean, I was practicing them. This is how you say it. This is how you say it. And I knew I'm going to get up on stage and I'm going to forget how to say these words. But I'm going to spell them for you. The first one is meklephilizo. And it's meklephilzol. This is Hebrew for knockoff, and it means cheap, replica, or a cheap copy. You also have another word. This one I can actually say. Hakatozala. That is HATAKAHZOLA. This means a cheap reproduction. Another way that you can say it is inexpensive without no value. Inexpensive or without no value. There's a few biblical examples of a cheap imitation. When God called Moses or instructed Moses to free his people from Egypt, Moses confronted Pharaoh. God commanded Moses to, when he first meets him, he tells Moses, instructs Moses, I want you to take the staff and I want you to throw it on the ground. It's going to turn into a snake. Moses obeys, throws it on the ground. It turns into a snake. Pharaoh says, oh, that's pretty cool. Guess what? My guys can do that too. So he has his magicians throw their staff on the ground and they turn into snakes. But Moses' snake devoured the Egyptian snakes. It was a cheap copy. Again, God instructs Moses, I want you to go to the Nile when the plagues start. I want you to go to the Nile, put your staff in the Nile. It's going to turn to blood. Moses does it. Boom. That's all right. My guys can do this too. The magicians go. They can do the same thing. Now this is another message, but it's really, really cool. How that was a representation of God killing the Nile. Was actually killing a demonic god there. That's a whole nother story. But it's a really cool, if you know it, you know it, but it's really cool. We're going to do that one day. The Egyptian magicians did the same thing. The next plague, it's frogs. Frogs come out of the Nile. Again, frogs are a representation of another Egyptian god. It's the goddess of fertility, if I remember correctly. Everybody thinks these are just stories. Oh, all this stuff. It represents stuff. The Egyptian magicians can produce frogs. But, beloved, that's where it stops. After that, they can no longer reproduce what God was doing. You see, the devil, people get scared of the devil. And I've been really wanting to do this message for a while. I want to talk about, it's not that hard. Our walk with Jesus really isn't that hard. We make it hard. But the more I look at it, I'm going through scripture, I'm like, it's actually really easy. We're the ones that make it hard. Well, that's another topic. But I don't even know where I was at. Egyptian magician. Okay. The enemy. Okay, that's talking about the enemy. The devil. All he can do. Remember, he's not the creator. He's the created. So all the devil can do is reproduce copies. And we fall for them hook, line, and sinker all the time. The devil, all he has is tools to ruin your life. He can try, he can beg, he can buy. He doesn't create. All he can do is do cheap, China cheapies, reproduction of what God already created. And so in the New Testament, Jesus tells us, he says, watch out for imitations. Watch out for those who look like they have it all together. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Are you the real deal or are you the copycat? We can go on TV and look at these mighty men and women of God, and we're like, wow, they have it all together. They look like they know. And then come to find out later on or whatnot, they have a shortcoming, a fall, whatever. Or they're not. Have you ever met someone that you thought, oh, man, they're really cool, they're blah, blah, blah. And then you get to know them and you're like, you're not who I thought you were. No one is who they, most of the time, people aren't who people perceive. We all put masks on. Case in point, I'll be nice. Chris Rock tells a joke. He says, we all wear masks. He's like, come on. He said, when you go on a date, you go pick up the girl you hooking up with, your eyelashes ain't that long. Your hair's not that long. We all put on masks. Come on. You know, when I first started dating Tiffany, I didn't dress and take showers all the time, you know. I did all that stuff to impress her. You know, and Dakota's not here, so I'm going to put her on blast. See, better come to church. You won't get talked about. There's this gentleman from, I guess, Austin, that they've been kind of talking to. And so the other day, and the funny thing is she'll never go back and listen, so she'll never know I'm talking about her. Maybe one day when she's older and she just happens, Daddy talked about me. So we were in the car the other day, and we were going to the grocery store, and Dakota wanted to go, so I was like, good. So I'm listening to my music, and I turned it off. I pulled the rearview mirror. I said, all right, now that I got you in a place where you can't go anywhere, you're stuck. Let's talk. So who's this little boy? And she's like, well, because they've been doing Bible study together. And I was like, Dakota, come on, man. Y'all ain't doing Bible. We are. I said, nah. I said, I used to be a savage. Take it from one savage. I said, he's putting on a front. No, Daddy, he's not like that. We read the Bible. We pray. I said, reading the Bible and praying, do that with another girl. I said, you read and pray, you read your Bible and pray with your spouse, because that's a very intimate thing you should do. I said, you should be. You need to do that with another girl, another sister, you know, do that. I said, how do you know does he love? But he loves Jesus. He's a Christian too. I said, that don't mean nothing. I know a lot of Christians who are wicked. Go watch the MTV Music Awards or something. You always have this tatted up thug. I got this award. I just want to give all praise and honor to God. You talked about sleeping around. You talked about drugs. You talked about cop killing. You were blaspheming, but now you want me, I want to give all honor to God. Come on, dude. And so I was like, Dakota, this is what you need to understand. When you first meet these young guys, you need to discern who they are, because they're going to put on a mask. They want you to perceive something that may not be there. I said, ask Tiffany. She thought I was nice till she got married to me. She found out I still had some skeletons in my closet. That there were still things Jesus needed to deal with me in my life. Luckily, those got taken care of. But She's up. If I would have known. Yeah, I know. And so you have to watch out for imitations, because a good imitation, and we've all been there. Even right now, you have different spams and scams going off. The schemes of those who want to pull money from your account and the scammers, they have gotten good. I mean, I understand cybersecurity, so I can look at emails and I'm like, okay, I'll look at, I'll have to look at fonts, because certain fonts look a certain way. I mean, and I've seen some that are like spot on. Even I'm like, I can't even tell. Why is DPS calling me? I don't know. Here's one I got from today while I'm in praise and worship. Final notice. Enforcement will begin May 11th. As today, your tolls are still unpaid. If you still don't pay your tolls tomorrow, you will face the consequences. If you don't know imitation, you'll look at it and be like, oh, no. Oh, pay now. What do I pay at? TexasDMV.gov. Maybe I should pay it. You pay it and you look at your bank account and you're broke as a joke. It's an imitation. I know better, because I'm like, why was somebody with a +63 area code calling me? A country code. That ain't America. We're +1. And so if you don't know and realize the imitation, you will fall for the scam. And so many times you have preachers, you have prophets, you have apostles, you have the men and women of God who have this great imitation. They look nice, dress nice, talk nice, but they're imitation. They're a form, as the Bible says, they're a form of godliness, but they lack the power. There's one guy, I was talking with the pastor and a prophet the other day, and we were talking about another pastor in things out of Atlanta, and even I noticed it. Big guy, mega church, probably 5,000 plus. And I was watching him the other day. He came on Instagram or something. I was watching his stuff, and I said, he looks like he's wearing women's clothes. And I'm like looking at this dude, and I'm like, no, he's wearing women's clothes. Not a dress, but like a pant, like a suit and a blouse that you wouldn't catch me wearing. And I'm looking at this, and he's talking really, I'm listening to what he's saying. I'm like, yo, he's somewhat on point. And I get, if you're not 100%, you're off. But if you don't know imitation, you're listening to it and you're like, hey, man, pastor, that sounds good. No, it's imitation. Paul says in his letter in the 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, for people will be lovers. This is from the Amplified. For people will be lovers of self, narcissistic, self-focused, lovers of money, impelled by greed, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane, and they will be unloving, devoid of natural human affections, callous and inhumane, irreconcilable, malice, gossip, devoid of self-control, brutal, haters of good, traitors, reckless, lovers of sensual pleasures rather than lovers of God, holding a form of outward godliness. I'm reading from the Amplified. So in parentheses, it says, outward godliness, parentheses, religion, although they have denied its power. And in parentheses again, it says, for their conduct. I love this. This is why I got to get the Amplified. I'm an ESV guy, but I start going to Amplified because in the Amplified, they have little quotation marks. And in that, the scholars went and already put in the context of what the original Hebrew was saying. So this is what it's saying. For its power, although they have denied its power, and here's in quote, and I love this. For their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. Ooh, that's ouchy. And this is what Paul's saying. Avoid such people and keep far away from them. We have to be a people that discern. There's a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, for their conduct nullifies their claim to faith. Avoid such people, keep far away from them. And so many times we have, and I love social media. It's a great witnessing tool, but it's for good or bad. You get a lot of good guys that will say stuff. And I'm like, I agree with that. But you get a whole lot of people who will say stuff and it's like, that is so far from the truth. Even in the book of Revelation, you have the Antichrist and the false prophet. Again, we see a copy. I'm going somewhere with this. And this is why it's so crucial and so critical in these last days that you be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can discern. Because many people in these last days will be turned away by false teaching. Many of y'all's so-called friends aren't who they say they are. Many of the men and women of God that you see on TV aren't who they say they are. So, are you real? Real in Hebrew, it's called amiti. It's A-M-I-T-I, amiti. This means, I want to go somewhere. This is some good stuff. Reality, true, correct, real, original, genuine. So we're talking real deal. So we're gonna break down. Here's the first part, real. Amiti. It means reality, true, correct, real, original, genuine. And then you have deal. And it's spelled L-E-C-H-A-L-E-K. Lekhalak. I think that's how you say it. Lekhalak, L-E-C-H-A-L-E-K. It means, and this is good. I didn't know why I named my message this. I actually put it up there. I was like, this is just a placeholder for now, and then I'll go back. This is what deal means in Hebrew. To share or to distribute. So here's my question. What reality are you distributing? Is it the world or is it the kingdom? You guys got that or I need to repeat that? So here's my question. So real deal. Real means amiti. It means reality, true, correct, real, original, genuine. Deal. It means to share, to distribute. So my question is, what reality are you distributing? See how I did that? Two words. Boom. Everybody got it? We lost. Told you we're going to go somewhere. We're going to another level. Is it the world or is it the kingdom? Are you distributing the world? A knockoff? A cheap representation? Or are you distributing the reality of the kingdom of God? So are you distributing the right kingdom? And this is, and this verse came up. 1 Peter 2:9 says this. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies, the wonderful deeds and virtues and perfections of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. As priests, we represent Jesus. Now, that's 1 Peter 2:9. We're going to do a little bit more. We've all heard that scripture, right? We've all heard that, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation. How many have heard that before in church? Who is that to? Wrong. Who is that to? Who is Peter talking to? You got it, Cindy. We say this. This is why it took me a while. We say this. Hey, guys in church from the pulpit. Hey, you're a royal priesthood, a chosen nation. That's great. But what's happening? It's Peter talking to the Jews. He's saying this. Hey, guys, look at these folks, these Gentiles. The reason why we can lay claim to this verse is because we've been adopted. That's the only reason we can claim that. But we never do the second part. We always say, hey, you're a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, blah, blah, blah. Wasn't for us. And the reason I want to get this is because we need to understand who we are so that we can walk in righteousness. We can walk with the way God intended us to walk. Because remember, Peter only preached to the Jews. It was only Paul that was like, hey, these are the Gentiles. Now, I'll get to what Paul said about the Gentiles here in a second. This is what makes this key. And once I read this and I really got the rhema, I was like, oh, wow. Because this is what's happening. I know we're having a lot of conflict in Israel right now. I've heard pastors. I've heard prophets. I've heard some wild stuff. I've heard people say, you know what? God divorced Israel. America's next. Literally, we say America's where it's all happened right now. You know, forget about the Israel and I was sitting there, I was like, yo, I know better than that. Because this is what Peter is saying. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. And he's looking at the Jewish people and he's saying, look, guys, these Gentiles are accessing, they have full access to what we have because of adoption. They're taking, they're running it. Why aren't you? Everybody tracking? Is everybody getting some? Everybody getting some good bread today? Some good meat? And so what I want to hammer into your head is that all the access, all of this comes through adoption. This is how we know. This is how, and I'm going somewhere. I'm building a case because in order for us to be the real deal, we have to understand line upon line, what we have access to, why we have access, and how we are supposed to walk out our lives. Just checking my time, see how much time I got. Okay. So you have Peter, he's talking to the Jewish folks. I'll give you an example. I'll give you this example. Once upon a time, there is a man, and he had five children. Now, two of those children were his biological children. Three of those kids were adopted, and they never knew that they were adopted. All they knew was, that is my dad. Now, because they are his children, they may not be biological. They have the same access. They have the same liberties, they have the same love as the biological kids. But sometimes the adopted kids understand, I came from nothing, now I have. So there's a greater appreciation for the parent. And so this man, he looks at his kids, and his adopted kids love him, treat him better, have more appreciation for their adopted dad than his own biological children. Are we getting it today? Ooh, I see everybody's face. Everybody's like, I see light bulbs and stuff clicking. I'm getting excited because when you get it, I get excited. Because when I got it, I was like, this is some good, you know, as I like to say, now we're cooking with grease. So, what Peter is saying here, look, guys, these adopted folk, these adopted children, they have a better appreciation of what you guys already have. What is wrong with you guys? And so, as believers, we have to understand, oh, thank you, Jesus, because guess what? He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to adopt us. He could have left us. He could have said, you know what? You ain't Jewish? Sorry, too bad, too sad. But he died on a cross, and we were adopted into the family. And because we had lack, because we had nothing, we came from nothing, we could run to the cross. We could run to Jesus and say, ah, Abba, Father! We get excited. That's why we're running and we're just like, oh man, we can do this, 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 and this, because we understand. So going back to 1 Peter, now because we're adopted, we are called priests out of adoption. And as priests, we represent Jesus. 1 Peter 2, 5, you believers, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house for a holy and dedicated priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. So here we go. What is a priest? I'm only going to give you the Hebrew because there's some other stuff in it that even I haven't dug out yet. But priest in Hebrew is Kohen. That's the phonetic saying, Kohen, K-O-H-E-N is how you say it. It means to reveal the heart of yes. Now, I can't explain that yet. We'll come back to that. I'm still digging that out. I had to go, and I got it this morning, so I'm like going through, so I'm like, I already got my message, and I'm like going through, I guess you can say I'm learning ancient Hebrew. Don't worry, I won't have my PhD. I'll just know enough to be dangerous. I'll just know enough to get me into trouble. But because we're priests, we have all this access because of adoption. And here we go. We got Paul talking to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. He predestined and lovingly planned for all of us to be adopted to himself as his own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the kind intention and good pleasure of his will. Romans 8:15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading again to fear of God's judgment, but have received the spirit of adoption as sons, the spirit producing sonship, by which we joyfully cry, Abba, Father. Ephesians 2:19 again, it says, so then you are no longer strangers or aliens, outsiders without rights of citizenship, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, that's God's people, and are members of God's household. So, beloved, if we're called to be, because of adoption, we're able to call ourselves a royal priesthood, and we are supposed to be preach and represent Jesus because we have to be the real deal. What does that look like? And if I don't get through everything today, we'll just tack it on. I'm not going to rush. I want to make sure. So far, is everybody understanding where we're at so far? Okay, is everyone getting built up? Like, okay, we're going somewhere. Okay. Now, we have folks that say, oh, we're under the new covenant. Yes, we are. So the stuff in the old, we don't have to do anymore. Yes. And no. Yes, we're under the new covenant. No, yes, we are priests, but we don't act like priests from the old covenant. If Deanne makes a mistake, she doesn't come to church the next week with a pigeon. Hey, Josh, can you sacrifice this pigeon for me? Joe comes in. Hey, I got this bull. Can you take it up and can you slaughter it for me? But in the New Testament, and I believe it's in 1 Peter 2:5, It says we are to offer spiritual sacrifices. Well, Josh, what does that look like? Well, spiritual sacrifices are offerings that believers present to God as part of their priestly calling in Christ. Unlike the Old Testament system, which involved animal sacrifices, the new covenant calls for offerings that are spiritual in nature, but flow from a, here's the key word, transformed life. Here are some examples. Praise and worship. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly profess his name. You see, offering worship and verbal praises to God is a spiritual sacrifice. But it's not really a sacrifice. You should want and love to do it. Oh, here comes Tiffany again. It's the same song. We're on week 4 singing Shiny. I don't feel like worshiping today. I'm tired. I'm this. I don't care. That is our sacrifice, where you come in and say, I'm tired. My feet hurt. I've been out all day. It's hot. There's no air condition. But Lord, I don't care. What? Yeah, bad hair day. I'm going to worship and praise you because that is my sacrifice. And I do it gladly. Oh, I'm sorry. They said bad hair day. Tiffany said, okay, so for those who don't know, we had to go to the ER the other day because Tiffany was yesterday. Tiffany was put, we were putting in some stuff into a cabinet. Some big old, like, you remember the ball, canning, like the glass canning things, and she dropped them on her head and they broke over the place. So praise and worship is a sacrifice. Another one, doing good. Let me see one more time. Okay. Doing good and sharing. Hebrews 13, 16. Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifice God is pleased. Acts of kindness, generosity, and service are sacrifices that please God. Hey, Josh, I have a flat tire. Can you come pick me up? I got stuff to do. It's a sacrifice. Acts of kindness. I don't always want to be kind to people. But I have to get past myself and say, you know what? We're called to be kind. I got to be. This is what we do. It's a sacrifice. Generosity. It's a sacrifice. Whether it's your time, your talents, or here's the big one, money. You see that hobo on the side of the street? Got that sign? Go to Austin. I don't know what's up with them hobos. They got great signs. They're the best. I remember there's one that used to be on Congress and not that one. Not the beer bottle guy. He had a sign. It said, wife and kids kidnapped by ninjas. Please give money so I can take lessons. I was like, dude, your sign was great. I just want to give you money. But we see people on the side of the road, or we see people that's in need, and what do? Especially on the side of the road, we all do that blank stare. And they're like looking at you. They're in the window. And you're like this. Don't see you. Oh, it's a green light. Or we do that really weak Christianese thing. Lord, if they come my way, I will give them my... Oh, it's a green light. Sorry. Should have been back here. I ain't gonna lie, I've done that before. Lord, if you want me to give them money, let them come my way. Oh, green light. Look, God, I was really going to be generous. My window was down and everything. I attempted to look for my wallet. Keyword attempted. I was looking. Oh, I don't see it. another form of example. Spiritual sacrifice is a life of obedience and holiness. This one is crucial. Romans 12:1, offer your bodies. Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Living a holy, surrendered life is itself a spiritual offering. We have to live holy because guess what? It's a sacrifice because my flesh doesn't want to live holy. My flesh wants to please itself and all forms and fashions of debauchery. And I have to say, no, we don't do that. No, we can't watch that. No, we can't look at that. No, we can't play that game. No, I can't eat that food. My flesh is like, I want that. It's a buffet. But we have to sacrifice. I don't need that. Going to the gym, that's a sacrifice. Surrendering your life is a sacrifice. But God, I want to do this. I want to be a businessman. I want to be a businesswoman. I want to jet set. I want to be a content creator. I'm calling you to sacrifice your life. Okay. And here's the cool thing about Jesus. When you sacrifice your life, a lot of times he puts dreams and desires that you think are your own. But then when you sacrifice and put it on the altar and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Usually he put those in you already. And he's just like, I just want to see, like Abraham, I just want to see where your heart's at. Abraham wanted a son. God gave him, hey, Shiloh, have a seat, buddy. Abraham wanted a son. God's like, I got you. Boom, son. Oh, thank you, God. I love my, oh, hey, by the way, I forgot to tell you. Do you mind taking him up to this mountain? I want you to flay him. I want you to sacrifice unto me. What? I'll do what you said. And he takes up his son, and as he's getting ready to sacrifice him, the Lord stops him. Now, it's not like us. Like, I do stuff to my kids all the time. I'll do crazy stuff to them. I'll do something that seems mean, and I'm just like, ha, I just want to see what you're going to do. Sometimes I'll go through the house. I'm just so mad. I'm kicking over stuff. Nobody's cleaning up. Everybody's like, ooh, we better go clean up. I'm not even mad. I just want to see they do it. Oh, man, I gave up my secret. Don't listen to that, guys. I'm really upset. All right, prayer and intercession. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8 speaks of prayers of the saints as incense, a metaphor of offerings. So prayer and intercession, it's a spiritual sacrifice. Cindy, do you like waking up in the morning and going to pray? No, I don't. I'm just being real. I'd rather sleep. Let me just sleep in a couple more minutes. It's a sacrifice to get up early. It's a sacrifice to get to study and to read. And I'm like, man, I'm tired. I'm like, but here's the thing. When you really love it and you love Jesus, it stops becoming a sacrifice. And it becomes, here's just me. This is, I can't back it up with scripture. Maybe if Daryl hears, he'll give me a scripture. But I believe if you do something long enough or you really love Jesus, it no longer comes a sacrifice, it becomes an offering. I want to do this, Lord. This is easy. All right, last one. Evangelism and discipleship. Romans 15, 16, Paul refers to his ministry of bringing Gentiles to Christ as his priestly duty so that Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God. Here's what he said in Romans 15, 16. Paul said, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. I minister as a priest. I'm going to read it how it says. I minister as a priest the gospel of God in order that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable to him, sanctified, made holy, and set apart for his purposes by the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't stop there. There must be a change in your life. You can't do it on your own. That's why it's crucial that every believer be filled with the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that gives you the power and the fruit of a transformed life. You can't do it on your own. You have to have the Holy Spirit. He gives you the power. You see, God wants you as priests to have the fruit of the Spirit, and this is where I'm really getting to, the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit's working together in your life, in your personality, in your DNA. It should be who you are and differentiate between you and the world. I'll give you a cool little, this is just a little nugget. Exodus 28, 33 through 34, it says, this is talking about, if you know that portion, this is the priestly, this is the original priest, Aaron, the Mosaic priest, the priesthood, and what the breastplate looked like, what everything should look like. But in the bottom, this is what it says, towards the hem, it says, you shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet fabric all around its hem, with gold bells between them, a golden ball and a pomegranate, a golden ball and a pomegranate, all around the bottom hem of the robe. You know what this represents? It's the nine fruit of the Spirit and the nine gifts of the Spirit in the New Testament. And it works in syncrecy with the other. It represents the, what? Say what again? Oh, okay, you want me to read the scripture? Okay, the scripture says, you shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet fabric all around its hem, with gold bells between them, a golden ball and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, all around the hem of the robe. So that you have the hem, right? And it's a bell, pomegranate, bell, pomegranate, all the way around. It's symmetrical. Everything works in tandem, the nine gifts of the Spirit and the nine fruits of the Spirit. So let me go. Here's the key point. So when people see you, the bell is the sound. The bell is the sound of the gift. It's the sound of the Spirit, which would be the gifts of the Spirit. What people hear, what people see. The pomegranate represents the fruit of the Spirit, what people can taste, what people can eat. Now, I'm going to go through, let me see how much time I got. You know, I don't have enough time. I'm going to stop there. I want to give you guys time to chew on that, because that was a lot. How many think that today was a lot? That was a lot. And don't worry, I'll go next week. I'm going to go and I'll go through. I'll go reorder everything and I'll review everything. But again, it's about being the real deal. When you're the real deal, you walk in the fruits of the Spirit. You walk in the gifts of the Spirit. And we'll get to that next week, and we'll talk. I'll go more into about the bells and the pomegranate. But it's how people see you when you walk in the room. And oh man, I really wish we had more time, because each, they actually relate to each other. I'll just give you one. Words of wisdom. We know what that is, right? What is the fruit counterpart? Self-control and gentleness. All the gifts and the Spirit, they support each other. Oh man, this stuff is, I'm telling you, this stuff is good. I was like, oh man. So till next week, to be continued. I'll stop there.